podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Yeah. Are you confident that Gareth Southgate can use Kobbie Mainoo in the right way? Because it's easy to hate on Southgate, and I think a lot of people do. But if you look a lot of the time when he's had this England squad and he's had this team, he tends to manage the players quite well.
But you have to be very cautious because, he could easily make a mistake.
Jay here from Stretford Paddock. This is Off The Bat, brought to you by Green King Sport. And today we've got some very special guests. As always, I've got my good friend Joe Smith.
Hello.
How are you? All right?
My voice is finally starting to recover from Sunday, but there's still a hint of celebration in there, I think. That's what I like to call it.
Like, keep that going. I don't ever want it to stop. The celebrations after the Liverpool game should be never-ending.
Yeah.
Also, we've got the absolute legend that is Andy Tate. Andy, how are we doing?
Thank you. Yeah, I too am sort of... I'm still coming down, but I'm still on a high from Sunday.
Good,
limbs everywhere and all that. I said some naughty things on fan cams and apologise for what I said, but it's the emotion.
It's the emotion.
And if you're Jamie Carragher, if you can't take a defeat, then why are you in football, mate?
Exactly. Well said. And we've took enough defeats this season, so I think we can revel in the victories we get, especially ones over Liverpool. Make sure you are hitting like, share and subscribe. We're going to get straight into it. We're going to talk about my favourite topic, other than the win over Liverpool, Kobbie Mainoo.
Yeah.
He's got his England call-up. Now, it's a bit of a double-edged sword. I'll start with you, Joseph, because is Kobbie Mainoo good enough to play for England? Yes, of course he is. I think we can all agree that.
Yeah.
He's a phenomenon.
Yeah.
But there's also that part of us that wants to, you know, him to be looked after, doesn't want him to be rushed too soon, doesn't want him to be involved in what can be a bit of a circus with England at times. Just give us your thoughts, because it looked like he wasn't going to make the England squad. Then he gets drafted in by Gareth Southgate for the games against Belgium and Brazil. Mm-hmm. Don't know how many minutes he's going to get, but he's certainly in the squad. What have you made of the fact he's been called up, first of all?
I'm really happy for him.
Yeah,
I think it's obviously something that, if you think from his perspective, is an 18-year-old kid who is just sort of finding his feet in professional football, really. And the fact that he's already in the England squad, and not just, I know obviously people can say, oh, the midfield's a weaker area and all that, but this is an England team that is one of, if not the favourite for the Euros in the summer, and rightly so based on what they've done in previous tournaments. Like, this is one of the best England squads in my lifetime. Certainly, you know, I would say nudging that kind of 2002 squad, which I think, you know, should have done a lot more. But this is like another generation like that now. The fact that he's getting in that, and like you said, is good enough to start for England. And a lot of people, not just United fans, think he should start for England. Is an incredible testament to how far he's come in such a short period of time and what kind of a player he is. And I think we've spoken about this before, but the style of player that he is as well is so unique. It's so rare to see, I know he's not a child, but it's sort of taking his first steps as a footballer. A very young man, was a kid, you know, months ago, and has just turned it into an adult. To be someone that is known for composure, calmness, level-headedness, intelligence, all of these things you don't associate with young players. These are things you learn on the job. Mm. Usually it's sort of energy, excitement, youthful exuberance. These are the phrases you use. Not, he slows it down, he calms it down. Not in a way where you go, oh, every time he gets the ball, he slows it down. But when a game is frantic, he can make it calm. When things are all panicky, he has that head where you go, give him the ball, and he'll find a way to recycle possession to do the right thing. It's an incredible set of skills that he has for a player of his age. And not just for his age. You look at someone like Scott McTominay, who, you know, I'll list the positives of McTominay's game because I don't want this to be a criticism of him. But you look at him, it's getting in the box, arriving on time, crashing into people, energy, work rate. These are the things. He's a mid-20s player now. He's never going to be described as someone that is the coolest head on the pitch. Composure, level-headedness. That's not what he's about. And so few players have that. When I think through Man United's sort of history, for me watching them, there are literally, I'm thinking Michael Carrick and Paul Scholes, and only Paul Scholes in his later career. When he was younger, he was a lot more energy and getting in the box and scoring goals. And, you know, I know he's not quick, but he was a sort of all-action type of player. As he got older, he sort of slowed down and controlled the game and controlled the pace. Michael Carrick did that from basically when we signed him. That's it. Those two players are the only two players that I've ever seen for United that I can compare to Kobbie Mainoo. Because players like this are so rare, let alone having someone from the age of 18 who's already like this. It's genuinely a unique player that I haven't really seen before as a United player. It's just incredible.
Yeah, I agree with all of that, to be honest with you. I think he is just, it's ridiculous how good he is and how mature he is. And not just on the pitch as well. If you just look at the way he conducts himself in interviews, he just looks like he's been doing it his entire life.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem phased. He's not monosyllabic. He's not giddy. He's just like, takes everything in his stride. Andy, how do you feel about him? Because there is a sort of counter argument, which I understand is, look, he's played, I think, 16 games for United in total. I think roughly that number. He only started playing in November for the first team. Now there's a good chance he's going to go to the Euros. Are you worried at all that there's too much expectation being put on him? Maybe not by the player himself, because he takes it in his stride, but fans or the press or the media might be like, look, you know, this is the guy, and he needs to do this, that and the other, when he's still only an 18-year-old who's played 3 or 4 months of football and at the top level.
Yeah, this is what the English media like to do to players. They build them up, then they want to break them down. You know, it's what it is, but I think he's more than capable and he's got the right people around him and to handle it. And I remember his debut, what was it, against Everton?
Yeah,
was there?
Goodison.
Where Goodison got an actual goal and all that. He, like you say, he played a blind eye. That he prevented a goal, I remember. He come off smiling. He's like a kid at the fun fair after all that. He come off smiling. And that was that sort of put him on the map. And he's played absolute blinders. Like, he's had a mistake here and there, but it's part football. He'll lose a ball. There was a goal he let it. I think it was against Bournemouth or something like that. He lost the ball or something. It could have been in one of the games, but apart from that, every game he's played, he's had the maturity of a senior player. And to be fair, he's put some of the senior players to shame. They could learn one or two things from him.
I agree. I think you're right. And what struck me about that Everton game, going back to that, is it almost felt at one point like his teammates were looking for him.
Mm.
It was like, give it him. He's the one that's making everything tick. He's the one that's got all the composure. He's the one that's buying himself time, which is a trait that reminds me a little bit of Scholes.
Yeah.
Where he seems to have an extra second on the ball than everyone else has got, because he's just got that intelligence to buy himself that little bit of time.
You could see that game. Like, you could see that game because of the players like that. I remember McTominay. I think it was the other midfielders there, like Bruno. They were like, they didn't want the ball. He wanted the ball. Yeah. He wanted to do something. And the players were just...
Yeah.
Shot floor is yours.
That's the thing. I think people always think, like, especially maybe if you've got a great team, like let's say he came into United 2008 team, the players around him, the likes of Scholes, Rooney, Rio Ferdinand, even Van der Sar, who's not playing sort of 1-2s with him, but that squad would probably have protected him a little bit more than this one has. I think because we're a team that isn't winning Champions Leagues and Premier Leagues, it hasn't taken long before, like you're saying there, Andy, his teammates rely on him. It's not just like, let's bring this kid through, let's go give him some minutes and take him out and we'll show you what to do. Hey, you know, if you could imagine Scholes or, you know, even Rio behind him going, come here, you know, come short, go there, like sort of pushing him and dictating him around a little bit. I know Casemiro's helped out and Bruno gives instruction. I'm not saying people have neglected him, but it's quickly become apparent that people are looking to him for advice and to him to slow the game down and to calm the game down and to do the right thing, because... like it's an extra level of pressure, but one that so far is he's completely sort of taking in his stride. I just hope that we aren't, and I don't even necessarily mean the expectation, because if you think, you know, yes, obviously there are certain players who the expectation maybe kind of works against them, but often, you know, you look at someone like Jack Wilshere or someone like that, but I think a lot of that was injuries. And I think, you know, the great players, and I'm not saying he's going to be a great, great player, but the players who are, you know, as good as you think they're going to be, use that pressure as momentum rather than using it as a hindrance. And I think, unfortunately for him, he's been put into a team that isn't quite as good as maybe he deserves and he would like and we would like. But so far, he's almost taken that role of a senior player. He starts every week. Like, it's not like, we're going to bring him in for 30 minutes here and when Casemiro's tired, you get the remaining minutes and you can come on at 2-0, you can start the cup games. It's like Liverpool, City, this. Like, we need to win games and Kobbie Mainoo's going to help us do it.
You remember that Nottingham Forest game? He was taken off. Oh, tactic. It wasn't tactic. Oh, and he said that. Oh, before he said that tactic, Ten Hag said, he needed a rest.
Yeah.
No, he didn't, mate. He meant bringing him off that game cost us that game. And you see how influential he was.
Yeah. Do you think there is an element of that?
A shame for him.
Do you think there is an element where he does need a rest sometimes? Yeah. I think the Spurs game at Old Trafford, you could see he looked a little bit leggy. Like, he was still, I said this after the game, even when he's not at the top of his game, he's still better than almost everyone else around him. That's how good he is, which sounds crazy to say about an 18-year-old playing for United. But you could see he was a little bit leggy, I felt, in that game.
Yeah.
And does that worry at all, Andy, where you think, Yes, he's fantastic. Yes, he's physically amazing. Yes, we need him. But is there still that element? This is an 18-year-old who's only been playing since November. We need to manage his minutes. Just still
definitely
feel that.
You can't burn him out because, like I say, that Forest game, he was needed more than that game. And the Tottenham game, he was tired. So it's about making the right call at the right time, when to rest him, when to use him. And if he's not in this team, the senior players have got to take their responsibility more. And like I say, sometimes this season, they not want to take that responsibility.
No, you're right, because I remember in Houston when he got that injury against Real Madrid in the first minute, I think it was, or the second minute. And I remember thinking at the time, it's a shame. And we saw him, didn't we? He was in the mix zone. We saw him walk past on his crutches. And you thought, it's a shame. But I thought, all what's happened here now, he was probably going to get a few minutes here and there in the team. And he'll have to be a bit more patient. But I think Erik ten Hag was already looking at him as someone that's going to start for me. And then obviously when he comes back from injury, he's in the team pretty much every single game. And I think mentally he can handle it. I just think physically, you might have to be a little bit, not cautious, but remember that he is still an 18-year-old. Physically developing. He's still growing. He looks, for me, bigger than he looked a year ago. You can see he's like, physically, he's growing and getting bigger.
So he's still growing when you're 21, isn't it? Yeah, something so like that. So he'll be built out.
I mean, if he gets high as well, like, he's not small, but if he gets big, he'll have it, literally everything. Yeah. So I do get that element of, let's not throw him into everything all at once. Let's be a little bit cautious. Yeah. Well, that being said, I definitely would take him for the England squad. I definitely think he's good enough, and I think he's ready for it. And I'm glad he's been picked as well.
Yeah, and people were talking about some of the Liverpool players and why aren't they there and all this, and who is it, Conor Bradley and Harvey Elliott and people like that, who people want in the squad that aren't. But he offers, like I said, it's not just like, oh, it's a United player and, you know, he's playing for United, so he gets it. Actually, look at what he does. People who actually watch him regularly, obviously United fans, but I've seen plenty of non-United fans saying he's doing stuff that not just a player of his age shouldn't be doing, but that no one else is really doing to that level of quality for England. There isn't really another player like him, the way he sees the game and his composure. He's got that thing where, like, he'll be running with the ball, and he obviously is checking his shoulders all the time because all players do that, but he's sort of like, you know, he's not really like looking at anything. He's kind of just using his peripherals the whole time, and his way of working out the space that he's in and using that space. Like you said, I think he brings himself that time by knowing exactly the space that he's in. His spatial awareness is fantastic. Probably maybe the best in the United squad, to be honest, where like that player coming in from this side, player from that side, he'll sort of see it all at once, and it looks like he's got extra time on the ball because he can wait to the very last second, because he's not rushing, because he can analyse and sort of read what's coming much better than other players. His spatial awareness is as good as I've seen for certainly someone his age, and I think as good as anyone in the squad at United at the minute.
Does he start for England for you?
I think if the only thing stopping him starting from England is the fact that he's never played for England before.
Okay.
If this guy, like I was saying this, you know, 2-3 months ago when he first came through at United, if he never improves as a player, and he just stays exactly the same person he is now, the same player he is now, he will stay at United for as long as he wants. If he gets better, then you've got, you know, the sky's the limit. But he's already good enough to start for United week in, week out. You know, he does things that stats don't show. You look at him on FB Ref or these kind of, you know, stat metric websites, and you see a player, you go, oh, his passing's not elite, and his defending's not elite, and, you know, his dribbling's not elite, and he doesn't score many goals. But when you actually watch him play, you see he does things a different way. I think in terms of quality, it makes complete sense to play him, Rice and Bellingham as a midfield three. I think it offers so much variation. I think he can pop up with a goal here and there. I think his dribbling and his confidence with his dribbling is getting a lot better. We saw that against Liverpool. Some of the close play with his feet, and it wasn't just once or twice. Nice. It was half a dozen times.
He ran through basically at one point. It looked like he ran through their entire transfer window.
Yeah.
It was like three players there, and he just went through all of
them. Yeah, and that's the sort of thing where you go, well, that just counts as one dribble or one completed pass. But in real life, that is far more difficult than dropping off 5 yards and just passing it to your left. You know, the way he does things is fantastic, but he's never played for England before, and he's 18, and reputations and careers can be really hurt if you have a tournament that isn't sort of befitting of your talent, as we're going to get onto in a minute. It doesn't take long for England fans to go, actually, what's going on here? Who is this guy? He's crap. I hate him. You know, or he's just doing the United play. He's only here because he plays for United.
Which is a nonsense, isn't it? He's only been playing for United. This isn't sort of 1999. No. Like, if you're, there used to be a time where if you played for United and you're English, you played for England, guaranteed.
Because England were better than United.
Yeah.
United were better than England.
Yeah,
so yeah.
Yeah. But like those days have sort of gone, really, haven't they? Where,
yeah.
I mean, I stand by the fact if you're good enough to play for United, the chances are you're good enough to play for England if you're English, obviously.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's like, oh, well, he plays United, stick him in the squad. City are that team now. If we're being honest,
of course, yeah.
It pains me to say it, but they're the ones winning Champions League titles. They're the ones where, if you're an English player and you're in the City team, the chances are you're in the England team as well.
I mean, look at Calvin Phillips. He wasn't even good enough for City and he was still playing for England.
Exactly.
So, you know, that's the standard.
And he was like one of the best players in your last Euros as well.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Andy, we can get onto it because Joe alluded to it there. The sort of the grief that you can get playing for England, especially when you're a United player. We've seen it. Me and you are old enough to remember David Beckham hanging effigies because he got sent off against Argentina. The Phil Neville death threats when he gave away the penalty. I think
Romania.
Against Romania. More recently, if you don't want to talk about, you know, 20 years ago, you can look at Jadon Sancho, Marcus Rashford missing penalties. Harry Maguire, I think, getting dogs abuse for almost for nothing, really. Harry Maguire's played well for England.
I can remember Wembley, the England crowd, if you hate Man United, clap your hands, and that's at an England match.
Yeah.
In the early 2000s. And it's, you're like, wow. Yeah. You know, and it's just unreal. But obviously it's changed now. But the country has a team to believe in, even though it's not delivered when it should have done. But the sort of hatred towards United players, it's still going to be there. Like, you will get it in pockets. Like, the grief against Harry Maguire.
Yeah.
The Sancho, Rashford missing the pens in the final, when it could have been a lot more if you had a manager who, I'll get onto that later, but
if we had
a different tactic that night against Italy. You know,
we wouldn't have needed them pens.
Yeah. So,
we'll get into Southgate in a minute, but it was a bit bizarre to bring on two players that barely kicked the ball and he's going to take penalties. As always, this episode of Off the Bar is sponsored by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game.
And the league season is entering the business end, isn't it, Jay? We've got all sorts to look forward to. We've got FA Cup semi-finals. We've got the end of the Premier League season. There's also everything across the EFL. But every single Manchester United game that is televised will be on at your local Green King Sport. And they've got, I mean, I thought 200-300 pubs would be enough. They've got 900 Green King Sport pubs across the country. So if they're playing, you will be able to see every single second of the Man United action in your local Green King.
Football is best enjoyed with your mates, so put a text in the group chat, get your friends together and get down to your local Green King Sport venue to catch all the action.
So the Green King Sport app has got loads of competitions and exclusive... Oh, fuck, one sec. And also the Green King Sport app has got loads of competitions and discounts as well that are exclusive to the app. So make sure you go and download the app, get in your local Green King Sport pub and enjoy all the action.
The link to the Green King Sport app is in the description to this podcast. Go and check them out.
I mean, obviously, the abuse that Sancho and Rashford got, anything that crosses the line into racism or just straight-up abuse is obviously...
Oh, they did it to Saka as well. Abhorrent. They did it to Saka as well.
I think, you know, people saying, oh, that shouldn't have happened, or why did he do this, questioning things. I understand that. But some of these things, like the Maguire one, I always think with that one... In terms of like what he did, he was excellent for England for sort of 95% of the games for England. He plays every single game. He was in the team of the tournament of the Euros. He had a rough time for Man United, and that got England fans booing him. I cannot get my head around that. It was a time
in the Nations League as well. I think he had a couple of ropey games.
Yeah, I agree, but I'm not defending it. Yeah, he had a handful of bad games in about 6 years.
Yeah, it was literally like two bad games.
I'm saying it's like nothing. Whatever. You know, you miss a penalty in a final where you shouldn't really be taking a penalty because you haven't played all game and you come on and you miss it. Okay, you're getting booed and you're getting stick. You kick someone in a game in 20 years ago or whatever for Beckham. And
never a red card, by the way.
Never a red card. Barely flicks him. And you're getting people burning, hanging effigies of you. Like, you have a couple of sort of bad games in a Euros, what is it called, Nations League for Maguire. And you're getting booed and sort of jeered and laughed at when you're coming on
and
the
also,
pitch.
Also, just to what put it into fuck? Context for Harry Maguire. Listen, whether you're Harry Maguire's biggest fan or not, he's literally been one of the most successful defenders for England ever, right? And hear me out before people start saying, Jay, you're back on the sniff. Right, he got to the World Cup semi-final scoring along the way, yeah? And was superb in that tournament. I don't think he put a foot wrong, to be brutally honest.
No.
He got to the Euros final, right? Along the way, he's in the team of the tournament and he gets player of the match against Germany. And anyone would argue the Germany game was the toughest one we won.
It's probably Southgate's crowning achievement in terms of a single game as England manager.
Yeah, because most of the wins we've had have been against teams that are weaker.
Yeah,
Germany was one where we were almost level pegging. It wasn't a vintage German side, I'm not saying it was. But he gets player of the match and in the team of the tournament. And also absolutely smash Rooney's his penalty into the camera, into top bins. Like... Ooh. You can't fault him for that tournament.
No.
The Nations League, I'm not a massive England fan, but genuinely really
who
gives
cares?
A toss,
no,
even being honest. And then you come to the World Cup. England finishing the quarterfinals. Again, it's another decent performance. A quarterfinal finish for England in the World Cup isn't bad by any stretch of the imagination. And he's part of that. So I just don't get it. I think there is an element of... It's like everyone's keen to hate on a player when they play for Manchester United when it comes for England.
Yeah.
True, but sometimes Ali Maguire's attitude during that time as well, it was there at United to see, I won't take responsibility here, I'm not accountable here. I remember 5-0 after Liverpool, I'm only out here because I'm captain.
Yeah, but isn't that going into what Joe's saying is, if you're a Millwall fan who follows England, why would you give a toss if Ali Maguire said something about United?
True.
Do you know what I mean?
And I do think as well that like, it became social media and the media became this sort of anti-Maguire machine for a while, didn't it? He became the punchline of the joke. He became, because he's...
The fridge.
Yeah.
The slab head.
Because he's a big lad.
Yeah.
He's sort of slightly goofy.
The 80 million
looking.
Price.
Even
you know.
Southgate came out and addressed it at a press conference. And I remember that.
So I just think this, and obviously, you know, Maguire's turned a lot of that round again. I think United fans have got to a point where a lot of people kind of respect his level and what he can do, even if they don't think he's a great
United
player.
Fans, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but just on that, I think United fans as well, I was at the ground after one of those England games, rallied round him a bit.
Yeah.
Because it's like, hang on a minute, I'm not having England fans booing our players.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We want to do it, it's a different story. But no,
yeah.
There was an element of, hang on a minute, we'll protect our own. Do you know what I mean? You've seen it in the past with players when they've had stick elsewhere. You know, Beckham is the perfect example where we just circled the wagons.
Yeah.
And it's like, as United fans, you come, you know, you as a fan base, you try and get behind your players. And I think it makes you more protective of them when you see them getting stick from England fans. Going back to then the original point,
yeah,
is that a concern for you? Because you, like you say, let's say, you mentioned it, the Bournemouth game, whatever it was. Let's say Kobbie Mainoo, I'm not saying it'll happen. Let's just say, for example, hypothetically, England are in a Euros quarter-final, Kobbie Mainoo loses the ball, the opposition score, yeah, England get knocked out. Are you worried
a bit
could face the backlash?
I am a bit, but because I do think that would happen. It would be naive. A lot of it would get funneled into Southgate, I think, because he's so young, Mainoo. I think it would be a lot of what you're playing him for, he's not ready. But then obviously Mainoo will see that. And, you know, I think the amount of green lights you can give a player in their first few seasons, the better. The fewer red lights. So, like, at the minute, it's been all green lights for him, hasn't it? There's been, you know, one or two times he gave the ball away there and we conceded a goal. But generally speaking, it's been, you're brilliant, we love you, you're great. Now you're playing for England under-21s. Wow, now you're straight into the first team. Da-da-da-da. It's been yes, 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 yes. And that would be a big red light in his career where you go, actually, he wasn't ready. We have to sort of come back and, you know, and try that again later on. And I think, especially for 18-year-olds, you look at, you know, other players in the past where... I think sometimes you hit these sort of red lights and they can be quite difficult things to overcome. I think it, like someone like Phil Foden in his England career, it's never quite... He's never been like first name on the team sheet, has he? I think Rashford's another one where he's had sort of injury red lights where you think he's just getting into the England team, then he's injured. And I say this all the time, but the last three tournaments where Rashford's playing every single week for Man United, scoring goals, whatever, whatever, he's never been first choice at a tournament for England. And I think the timing and unfortunate PR or unfortunate injuries or one mistake here or you let the manager down there, these things can actually sort of trip a player over a little bit, especially in terms of their international
I do
career.
Wonder that with Rashford. How much of the problems or the issues that he's had, for want of a better word, stem from some of the stuff that's gone on with England? Because I do feel like that season after the Euros was his worst season I've ever seen him have.
Yeah, it was worse than this season.
Yeah,
definitely.
He looked lost.
Yeah, he did.
He looked like he lost all his confidence. And he took dog's abuse after the Euros, did he?
Yeah, I remember it well.
Social media just on him. And he'd had that massive high ante during COVID times when he'd become like the saviour of the nation, to almost the opposite where everyone was on him. And I felt as well, there wasn't quite that element of United fans rallying around him.
Yeah.
There was to a certain degree, but I think a lot of United fans were a bit miffed. We were going through a bad time of it with Ralph Radnick and Solskjaer being sacked and the performances gone to the dogs, and everyone was like,
as well, there was an element of he postponed his surgery to play for England.
Yeah.
Then it went wrong. And then he had his surgery and had a few months off United and came back and wasn't great. And I think people went, well, if you'd have just had the surgery when you needed it, you wouldn't have had this problem with England and you'd be back helping United more quickly.
Yeah,
I think for some people that went...
That's a great point. That did annoy a lot of people, didn't it? And people look... Because most United fans, even the ones that follow England, prefer United. And a lot of United fans don't care about England. You mentioned Gareth Southgate, Andy. I wanted to ask you about him because this is a manager who, you know, he's like the babysitter for your kids. You're trusting him with your prized assets here.
Yeah.
Are you confident that Gareth Southgate can use Kobbie Mainoo in the right way? Because it's easy to hate on Southgate, and I think a lot of people do. But if you look a lot of the time when he's had this England squad and he's had this team, he tends to manage the players quite well. He does, if I'm being honest. I don't think I've seen Gareth Southgate where I've gone, there's been some tactical decisions I don't agree with, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But I think in terms of like looking after players, he seems to have the players back and that kind of thing. But how do you feel about him as Gareth Southgate managing Kobbie Mainoo if he does take him to Europe?
I think he'll look after him okay, but you have to be very cautious because he could easily make a mistake. I remember previous England managers, Glenn Hoddle throwing David Beckham under the bus after the red card.
Horrible.
Glenn Hoddle threw him after the...
He did it with Andy Cole as well.
He drops him for the next match and he scored that goal against Colombia. Like I say, Glenn Hoddle had to eat humble pie. So you've got to be very cautious. Like I say, I worry about England with some of our players going abroad, going to tournaments. Mm. And like you say, it could break. If it breaks someone in England, it could affect their United career. Like I say, it's always United first, England second.
Yeah.
And you're managing well, like you say, but you look at Ben White.
There's a bit of intrigue there. Is it Steve Holland or whatever his name is? Apparently, he's made a comment that upset Ben White. I don't really.
Yeah.
Like,
so
I'll be brutally honest. I don't really.
So, you just wonder, like, I don't want to be part of the England squad. That's what Ben White's done. That's his decision. He's got targets with Arsenal to achieve, and good luck to him. And maybe that's what I say. It's just the style of the character of the manager that is Southgate.
What do you make of it? Because I think Southgate, there's been a couple of things I didn't agree with Southgate. Throwing Mason Greenwood into an interview was a mistake. And I thought Southgate could have stopped that. But on the whole, I think he does seem to manage the players quite well. He does seem to have a good relationship with him. Yeah. And I think he's built this sort of harmonious squad. How do you feel about him as a manager and having Kobbie Mainoo for a tournament? Would you be confident? Because like Andy said there, we've had tournaments in the past where Glenn Hull's the obvious one, didn't protect David Beckham when he maybe needed it, threw him into an interview, criticised him, blamed him after the Argentina game. It was an absolute shambles. You've had other managers as well at a time, like Capello and Rio had an issue. There's just been one or two where you've
got a lot of warmth from Capello, wasn't
it? No, it was a bit weird. I think Rio was finding out off other people that he'd been dropped or whatever. It was just weird. How do you feel about Southgate? Because you've been, I'm going to say a cheerleader for him, but you've been quite supportive of him.
I think he's done a really good job as England manager. I think he has made some mistakes. On the pitch, there's been a handful of mistakes, definitely. I think off the pitch, there's been a few as well. But I do think his best attribute, Southgate, by a mile, is creating an environment that the players enjoy being in.
Yeah.
Which I think Capello was terrible at. But, you know, any game that England won under Capello, by the sound of it, was sort of despite him rather than because of him. Because it sounded like everyone just hated being there, didn't they? Everyone hated him. Everyone hated being there. I think little things...
Do you remember John Terry giving that press conference in the middle of the tournament in South Africa? Like, saying, if we need to, us players need to have a word and all that.
Yeah.
Speak to the manager. And then Frank Lampard give a press conference later saying, I know what John Terry's on about. We're not going to do that. But it was just weird.
There's an England player. An England player had a baby. And Capello... Well, England player, his wife had a baby. He drove straight there to the hospital. And they had the baby. His wife had the baby. And he come back next day. Capello held it against him being at the birth or something like that.
I think that, like, you can't be doing. And he was proper like, we're locked in. You're not, no phones, no social media. You're not, I know social media was in its infancy, but you're not like seeing your wives. You're not going out for me. It was like sort of army boot camp style, wasn't it, with Capello? Yeah. I think with Southgate, his best attribute is his man management. And I think he's been very good at that. And I think you don't have a manager stay at this long at England, first of all. I think certainly the longest standing England manager in my lifetime. I don't know when the last time someone stayed longer than 8 years was.
Bobby Robson.
Bob Robson did 8 years, didn't
he? So 82 to 90,
He's knocking on the door of being one of England's longest ever managers. Like, you don't do that without being friends with
Bobby Robson, I think he had certain tournaments, didn't he, where he flopped. I think in the Euros, we lost all the games in 88.
Yeah.
And I think Gareth Southgate, to be fair, I know I keep dismissing the Nations League, but I don't get it. I never really watched it, and I don't really care about it. But I think in terms of the proper tournaments,
yeah,
his record speaks for itself.
So yeah, it's the best we've had since, you know,
since Ramsey.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, and I do think that will bode well for players like Maino. He's developed a very young squad as well. I know there's certain older players in there, but you look at, you know, the likes of Bellingham, and I know Rice isn't that young anymore, but he's been in the squad since he has been very young. And for a goalkeeper, Pickford had been in the squad since he was quite young, like early to mid-20s. A lot of these players have come through as young players, and he's done a good job of keeping everyone happy. And even Rashford came through as a young player under Southgate. So I think that he's got a decent track record with that. A few blunders, like I said, the Greenwood one was stupid. What was he, 18, 19, basically.
The first question on Harry Maguire and Mykonos went to Mason Greenwood from the United squad on an England camp.
Yeah,
and I couldn't believe what I was watching.
Yeah, you put your captain there for that, don't you?
Yeah,
why have you allowed that to happen? You don't put a child out there.
Maybe a bit of punishment for the previous what happened in Iceland, probably.
Yeah, potentially. But I just think...
I think that was before that, wasn't it?
Was it?
I don't think you'd put him in a press conference after the Iceland incident.
Might have been. I don't have to check that.
That's even worse if that was the case.
Maino was in relatively safe hands in terms of England managers, I would say. And I don't think he's going to be starting every week. And I think that maybe... We've obviously, the thing to remember as well is what we're in mid-March now, toward the end of March. We've got April, May, June, July until the tournament rolls, or June, sorry. We've got 3 months till the tournament rolls around. Kobbie Mainoo might have doubled his professional games by then.
Yeah,
he might be someone that is undroppable. He might be starting those games. It's not unthinkable. If we have a run to the FA Cup final and he stars in a win, or, you know, he keeps putting his performances in, if he's had sort of 35 to 40 performances in a row where you go, he's not had anything worse than a 6.5 out of 10 here, you know, he might be starting. So I think it's lucky that it is someone like Southgate, who, whilst he's not a great tactician or a great sort of leader in terms of what he's won and his Zidane-style figure on the bench, we go, fucking hell, I better impress him. He is someone who, I think, puts the personalities and the feelings of the players higher than a lot of other managers.
You can tell for me that he's been an under-21s manager.
Yeah,
you can tell that.
Yeah, great point.
Like, the way he handles young players, the fact that he turns a lot of time to younger players, he has that sense of, if you're good enough, you're old enough about him. And I criticise Southgate at times, but I think that is a good element of him, that he can see some of these youngsters. And also, with Maino, I think as well, if he continues playing the way he has this season, I would like to see him start, because I think you might not get this opportunity again to have Maino, Rice and Bellingham in your midfield, to have Harry Kane in front of him.
That's true.
You've got such a strong team here. To have Kyle Walker as your right back, to have Harry Maguire and John Stones as your centre backs, who work well together. Yeah. So that maybe if Luke Shaw's fit, to have him, because this team, by the time the World Cup rolls around, Harry Kane might be done. He might not be the player he was.
Yeah.
Kyle Walker can be going to be 35, whatever. He might be the same with Luke Shaw, same with Harry Maguire.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you might even have an injury to say Bellingham and Rice. They might not be an option. And you might think that was our opportunity there to have this real strong midfield in a strong England team. And I just think, I don't know, when you've got an opportunity to play a player who's playing well in a team that he fits in, I think you maybe should take that.
Like Rooney in 2004. I think he's a good example of that, where you go, it might be a bit soon for him. You know, he's just coming
to... Sven Goran Eriksson did it with Jason Walcott, took him to the Euros. Theo Walcott was a buzz. Never used him.
And the funny thing with that is, that's a good point, and they took him to the World Cup. Theo Walcott never kicked a ball in the World Cup. And he went when he was 17. And I remember people saying, there'll be plenty of opportunities for him.
Arsenal bought him the same year, didn't they? And there was all the buzz about him and all
I think Sven got a bit giddy, didn't he, with the whole Rooney thing and thought, I found another, you know, gem. It wasn't quite like
that. But Wayne Rooney, if it wasn't for that injury in that tournament, could well have propelled England us to winning it.
England win it.
Yeah, I think
100%
could and would have done. But I know
Greece won it, didn't they?
Yeah, the injury did happen, and you know that's not the manager's fault. But you think, like, if you'd not played Rooney in that tournament, it would have been.
Rooney had the injury
thing.
2006 World Cup. Greece won the Euros.
Yeah. No, but in those Euros, Rooney got injured in the quarters, didn't he, against Portugal? If you remember, he went off after 5 minutes injured.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah.
He did his metatarsal again.
He scored like four goals up until that point.
He was flying. He gets injured, he comes off, and we lose on penalties. Had he stayed fit, I 100% we think we win that game and the tournament.
Yeah.
Because I think he was just... He said it in his documentary, though, he's seen it recently. He felt like he couldn't do any wrong, and I think during that little period, he was banged. It's basically one of the reasons...
Croatia game, wasn't
it? Yeah, because he sort of... I know international football doesn't always give you a good barometer of how good he is, but people could say, they knew it anyway, but he's just generational.
Yeah, and also people can... Momentum is so huge in football. I say this all the time. Momentum and confidence is so huge. You look at what sort of James Rodriguez did in that World Cup. That was the pinnacle of his career by an absolute mile. Went to Real Madrid afterwards, was okay, you know, Everton, etc., etc. In that World Cup, he was fantastic. He could have won them that World Cup if things had gone a different way. You know, there are certain times where, like, Mario Götze scored the winner for Germany in the World Cup final. He's had a pretty good career. He was a wonder kid who never hit that potential that people thought he would. But the momentum he had at that time in his career was the difference in that tournament. Sometimes players who are just hit, you know, and I don't want to say Kobbie Mainoo is never going to be as good as he is now, because I think he can go on to have a great career. But like you said, these... You're not guaranteed to have Kobbie Mainoo in this form, with this momentum, with this public backing, the way you have him right now. These things don't always just go, well, we'll see you again in 2 years. We'll see you again in 4 years. Sometimes this is the best it gets.
Yeah.
And I think if you're looking at it from an England perspective, which again is not the priority by any means, I want United to do well, but even Kobbie Mainoo's career perspective, there is a chance that this tournament is the only one he ever goes to for England.
Yeah,
and if he's in this form, for him, he would want to be playing and he would want to be a big part of the success. And who knows what will come in the next 5-10 years. I hope he can be a mainstay at United, and more than a mainstay, like a leader in the team. But I just think these things don't always roll around.
No.
You know, sometimes people have huge peaks and huge drop-offs. And I just think for Mainoo's sake and for sort of England's sake, I think he's got to play.
I agree. Listen, we all love Kobbie Mainoo. We all want what's best for Kobbie Mainoo.
We do indeed.
And we want, you know, we want to see him shine it like he has been doing. Lads, that's been a fantastic little chat. I've really enjoyed that. Make sure you are going and checking out the Green King Sport app. Follow them on all the socials. There's a link in the description. Andy, where can people find you?
Hey, you can find me on the socials. Find me on the paddock.
Yes.
I'm here, there, everywhere.
He's everywhere. He's like Brian McClare. You can go and find Joe as well. You know where to find him on Sloppy Joe's on here, all that good stuff.
This is going to be my last video from the studio for a month as well, by the way.
Yeah.
So I'll be doing a couple of
jet, get your miles in.
Those parking tickets have caught up with him, so he's going away for a little while.
I'll be jet setting.
Air miles instead of parking tickets,
exactly.
All right, for some.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I'll see you in a few weeks.
Yeah, go on, you sod off. I'm all joking. We'll miss you. That's been Joe Smith. That's been Andy Tate. I'm Jay Moy. This has been Off the Bar. Don't forget to hit like, share, and subscribe. Thanks for watching. Sports Social Podcast Network.